Joe Bridentino, a senior pastor, got saved at the age of 14. He was called by God to preach at 15 years old and began to preach at the age of 16 years old. He finally surrendered and served in full-time ministry at the age of 17 years old. He graduated from the Bible College in the year 1988 and was married on January 1, 1991 to Miss Ella, his faithful wife and partner in the ministry for more than 30 years now. The Lord blessed them of 4 daughters, Joni, Jaire, Jem, and Joe. 2 of them are married to pastors. Joni is married to Jacob, a pastor and also a lawyer and a partner to our ministry. And Jaire is married to Kevin, who serves as our lead pastor of our main church. Jem is a dentist who is also spearheading our church publishing team that produces our Bible workbook materials for our kids' ministry. The youngest is a nutritionist, Joe, that also serves as one of our campus ministers. They have 3 grandkids, Jaden, a 10-year-old boy, Star, a 7-year-old girl, and Janina, a 6-year-old girl. Our church's main focus in the ministry is all about church planting, soul winning, and training the nationals. Pastor Joe Bridentino engaged in church planting since 1993. For about 3 decades now, he planted churches in a remote island, villages, towns, and municipalities, and currently in a progressive city of Batangas, which is about 70 miles south of Metro Manila, where our main church is located at. To complement the vision of our pastor to plant churches, he started a Bible Institute in 2006 and still in operation until today. Some of our graduates are now in the field starting churches, and others are helping and working with their pastors to establish ministries in their respective local churches. Our pastor's heart's desire and heartbeat of the church is to reach and invest in the next generation. For the last 7 years, we engage in village and community outreaches in Batangas City by starting home Bible studies and house churches where our leaders conduct services on their homes, giving us an opportunity to win and evangelize family members and friends in the neighborhood, and reaching kids in all walks of life and even to the challenged villages through our Sparks ministry. One of our exciting ministries today is reaching the senior high school students in a public school through our weekly campus ministry as we present the gospel to them. Our people wanted to see these kids and some of these students come to our church. We usually hire the typical public transportation called the jeepney to take these kids to our church and our big activities. But now, our church is praying and desiring to have our own vehicle to use every week to get more folks to come to our church services. We are praying for this vehicle, an Isuzu Travis van that could transport up to 25 people. But for Filipino size, this van can accommodate 30 to 40 kids in one trip. Its market value now costs us about $26,000 to purchase a brand new one for our church. As of now, our church has raised through giving and commitments a seed money of $6,000. We are praying for the remaining $20,000 that God will provide for us this amount before this year ends. Hope you can consider this in your prayers to help us in this special project for our church. Thank you for holding the rope for us and your partnership with us. God bless you.
Thank you for watching. Pastor Cook, thank you so much, sir, for allowing us to come and be able to be a blessing to your church tonight. And we are thankful also personally to Brother Cherry and his wife, Agnes. Please don't forget to greet Brother Mike a happy birthday after the service. You know, the main focus of our ministry back in our country is doing church planting, training the national, soul winning, and we invest in the second generation. Now, Brother Cook, I'm not going younger anymore. You know, I got a lot of things that I used to do that I never do right now. because I'm getting old, you know. So we invest our time training the nationals to become pastors and ministers back in our country. So we plant churches since 1993 from the remote islands, villages, and now we are now in the progressive city of Batangas, which is about 70 miles south of Metro Manila. In that city, we are planning to plant 10 churches in 105 villages of that big city. Yeah, actually, it's just only a small city, but we have around 1 million people living in that city. 105 villages. And we are thankful that we have 3 churches now in that city. But we're still doing some church plant. And when I get back home, we're planning to start another church in the remote island of Mindoro, where we used to plant our first church in 1993. We're trying to go back there. I'm grooming now another preacher there to be the pastor. But I will be starting that out and then turn it over to him. That's what I usually do. Start it and then look for a preacher that will continue the job, because I would just want to plant, you know, and plant as long as I can do it, you know. But I cannot pastor 2 churches at the same time. So we train national pastor to be the pastor of that independent local Baptist church in town. One of the reasons why we came back here is March the 13th to the 17th, I was invited by a church in Nebraska, which is about a few miles away from Omaha. They've been supporting us for 25 years. And the preacher there retired, and a new pastor came in. He just like one of my sons, you know. I believe 33 years old or 34 years old, young preacher. And I never been in their conference, Brother Cook, for the last 25 years since they took us on for support. And he invited me to come and be serves like a keynote speaker, you know. From Wednesday up to Sunday, I preached 5 times in that conference. And what a blessing, you know. So he sent me an invitation, and we're able to come back in the States last March the 7th. And since we're close to the area, I reached out to Brother Cherry that we would like to come in here. So we drove, after the conference, we drove all the way to Colorado. And our car got a little bit problem, you know. We need to replace the alternator. And the preacher there, he didn't allow me to drive all the way from Colorado to Arizona. So we flew as they are trying to fix the problem of our car. So hopefully we'll be flying back next week, because we just want to catch up Brother Mike's birthday, and we'd like to be in his birthday, you know. It's been a great help in our ministry. Whenever they come there, he help us. They help us. This couple help us in our community outreaches, especially the Vacation Bible School, you know, for the children. You know, our kids really love this, a couple, you know. They're really thankful for their ministry. And I wish you can send Brother Cook to come and preach for us and see the ministries that we have back in our country. You know, to see the pictures is... it's a good thing, you know. Missionaries usually show video, you know, write newsletters, maybe quarterly, what we usually do, you know, we do quarterly newsletters. But I will tell you, to see by yourself, it's another thing. And that's why we continually, you know, invite pastors to come in the Philippines to see and help us and see by themselves that we can... You know, 30 years ago, Brother Cook, national pastors like us, the American preachers, they don't trust us, you know, that we can do the church plant or missionary works. But since we are able to invite pastors to come in our country, and because we want to be accounted, you know, we love, you know, we just want to be accountable to those people who help us, That's why we invite pastors to come and see the ministries that they've been supporting. And the second reason why we are here, since we are here already, and we made a plan, you know, for helping our church to buy a vehicle. And, you know, as you see, maybe our friend there, hey, you've been in the Philippines, and, you know, most of our people, they don't have cars. Agnes knows it. Mike knows it. And we usually, our people use the public transportation. And we use the public transportation. We hired public transportation to bring kids, new contacts in our church. And if we could be able to help our church to buy this particular vehicle, then we can bring more young people, teenage boys and girls, and even these students in public school that we are now reaching out from Monday up to Thursday. We have a team that are going there every day and preaching the gospel and reaching out those senior high school. We have one school there, which is pretty close, about 2 miles away from our church, about 2,000 high school students, only senior high school. And we are thankful that we could be able to work with our government. Now, right now, we are thankful that we have the privilege, you know, to penetrate to the government offices, even public school, police officers. We are there. And thank God for this opportunity that we can reach our people in that community. So our people really we're able to raise some amount for that particular project. And that it costs us $26,000. But right now, we have already $6,000 seed money for that. And we are praying that we have some friends in the States and churches that I will present this special needs. And maybe you can consider this in your prayers. Maybe, you know, you can be able to help us and help our church to buy this special project that we have. We are praying for 20 churches that will give us at least $1,000 apiece for this special project. And we'll be staying in the States for about 2 more months, and hopefully we could be able to help our church to purchase this. I just only have a few minutes to preach, but if you have 2 questions, I would like to entertain that. If you have 2 questions. No more questions, thank you. Yes, ma'am. The most challenging challenges that we face there is, you know, Philippines is just kind of like, they believe that they are a Christian nation. You know, we believe, the Filipino mentality, we believe that we are the only Christian nation in Asia. But we are not Christian nation. We are Catholic people. We are Catholic country. About 83% of our people are Catholic. You know, the main challenges is this. Catholic people are receptive in what we call in receiving that gospel. But to invite them to come to the church, it's really hard. It's really hard. But to present the gospel, they are receptive. But you don't know, you know. You don't know if they are saved or not. That's why we are keep on going to the community and reaching them out. And the blessing is, if we have a ride, if we have a vehicle, then we can invite them, you know. Because if they are living in a certain village, you know, or community, which is about 3 to 5 miles away, and if they don't have a ride, they will not go. But if you can come there, you know, and pick them up, they would be able, maybe 85%, we can get them to the church. So that is one of the things, of the challenges. You have to keep on witnessing to them and build relationship to them, so then these Catholic people would be able to know more and grow more in the knowledge of the Lord. Okay, no more question? Yes, ma'am? We usually sing hymns. Brother Mike has been there, you know. We project our songs on TV, smart TV like that. We have two smart TV hung on, and then we sing. But most of our songs, we sing hymns. We play piano. We don't have drums. We don't have metallic instruments. We have guitars, classical guitars, and violin. So those are the music instrument that we use in our services. All right, got 18 minutes. Hopefully I can make it. Okay, turn your Bibles with me if you would. Luke chapter 16, I'd like to read a couple of verses from here. Would you mind to start with me if you would? Luke chapter 16. I would like to read from verse 19. This is a very popular and familiar passage in the Bible. It is a story about the rich man who went down there in hell. And then let's read verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this plain. Shall we pray? Our God, we love you tonight, and thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be a blessing in this church. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the preacher, for allowing me to stand behind this pulpit, Lord, and be able to be a channel of blessing to their people. Lord, I pray this tonight, Lord, as I speak to these dear people, as I speak to their ears, O God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be able to speak to their hearts. For in Christ's name we pray, amen and amen. Thank you. Be seated. I'd like to share to you tonight about the prayer of the rich man. The prayer of the rich man. I wonder tonight, my friend, that if you are aware that this rich man, while he was still alive, he didn't know how to pray. I never read, Brother Kirk, in my Bible that this rich man, when he was still alive, know how to pray. But I just really surprised when he died, down there in hell, he started praying. He started praying. And you know what? I hope you don't mind if I preach about hell tonight. You know, hell, I will tell you that it is a real place. My Bible said that it is a place of torment. In verse 27 and 28, it says there, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send to him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Hell is a real place. You know, hell is a four-letter word, which means, if we could have used the acronym of hell, H stands for, it is a hot place. You know, we are living in a country which have only two seasons. In here, in your country, you have four seasons. But back in our country, we have only two seasons. And Americans asking me, what are those? And I said, the hot and the hotter. But I will tell you, like Arizona, you know. I feel at home in here, you know. But I will tell you, my friend, that hell is hot. And you would not like to be in there. It is a hot place. And the letter A in the word hell, it stands for at its eternal place. It is a place of eternity. Once you are get there, I will tell you, my friend, 10 years from now, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, soul who are in hell will still in there for eternity. And the first letter L in the word hell, it stands for the lost people. Only lost people will be going go down there in hell. And the last letter L stands for, this is a place for longing people. You know what? When the rich man got there, he started longing for his five brothers. And he started praying for them. I wonder tonight, my friend, you imagine, my friend, that this rich man, when he got there,
he started praying. There is a cry from beneath. There are people down there in hell are praying. You know, there are three things that they prayed. I want you to listen very careful tonight and very good, you know, because as you hear me, I'm having a hard time to preach in foreign language, because I'm thinking in Filipino. At the same time, my computer is translating it in the different language, you know. Okay, please bear with me, because my accent is different, you know. But let me share to you very quick the three prayers of the rich man in hell. Number one, when the beggar died, and it was Lazarus, and he was taken by the angels into Abraham's bosom, which is the paradise, and now we call it heaven. Amen? But the rich man, when he died, I will tell you tonight, my friend, poor and rich people, you're going to die. God is no respecter of person. Black and white, brown skin like me, one day we're going to die. Because the word of God said in Hebrews chapter 9 in verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. One day, my friends, we will be facing our Creator. And tonight, my friend, I want you to see the first prayer of the rich man. In verse 23, it says there, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. The first prayer of the rich man was he prayed for mercy. He prayed for mercy because he wanted to get saved. He wanted to escape from the punishment in hell, and he wanted to be in paradise up there in heaven. But I will tell you, my friend, there is no mercy in hell. It is a good prayer, but I tell you, my friend, down there in hell, there is no mercy. If you are not saved tonight, this is the very good time to pray for mercy. This is the best time to pray and ask the mercy of God. The second thing that he prayed for a missionary to be sent out. Look at in verse 27 and 28. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. In verse 27, he was asking Abraham that Lazarus would be able to be sent to his father's house. He prayed for a missionary to be sent out. And thank you so much. I look on this paper, my friend, that I read that you are supporting 21 missionaries already. Who will be the 22nd? Amen. Thank God that this church, you have a heart to reach the people other side of this country. Thank God for praying for a missionary. I tell you, my friend, that this rich man, he prayed for his loved ones to be saved. He prayed for his five brethren that they might be saved. I wonder tonight, my friend, when was the last time you prayed for your loved ones who are not saved? When was the last time, my friends, that you prayed for your friends who are not saved to get saved? I wonder tonight, my friend, when was the last time you come down in this old-fashioned altar and kneel down and pray for somebody to get saved? People down there in hell, like the rich man was praying for somebody to get saved. The last, and not the least, he prayed for mercy. He prayed for a missionary to be sent out, and he prayed for a miracle. He prayed that he wanted, my friend, that the dead should be able to rise from the dead, to rise up from the grave, and be able to witness to his father's house, to his five brethren. And he said, Father Abraham, you know, if he who sent him to my father's house, they will believe. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. And he said, he's trying to make an argument. And he said, Father Abraham, if they one rose from the dead, they will believe. And Father Abraham said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither a man should be raised from the dead, they will never be persuaded. I will tell you, my friend, Brother Cook, I still believe in a miracle today. But the miracle that I believe is what is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It is a miracle to a sinner like me will be able to get saved and transform and be able to be used by the Lord. It is a miracle. But I will tell you tonight, my friend, it is never, never allowed that the dead man should be able to be rise again from the dead and be able to witness. There is only one that had been rose from the dead, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we have Easter Sunday to celebrate. Let me share with you a few more things, then I'll turn it over to the preacher. You know what? Praying for mercy is very good prayer. To pray for a missionary to be sent out, I believe it is a good prayer. To pray for a miracle is a good prayer. But I will tell you tonight, my friend, the prayer of the rich man were denied. There are three reasons why. Number one, it is because he prayed to the wrong person. He addressed his prayer to Father Abraham. We Catholics, I used to be a Catholic. I was born and raised in a Catholic religion. In fact, I was an altar boy. We address our prayer to the saints. This rich man's prayer was denied because he addressed his prayer to one of the saints. He prayed to Abraham. He prayed to the wrong person. Second thing why his prayer was denied is because he prayed in the wrong place. Ladies and gentlemen, we can pray everywhere. But let me tell you, there is a place that is wrong place to pray, and that is a place called hell. He prayed down there in hell. And last reason why his prayer was denied, he prayed to the wrong person. He prayed to the wrong place. He prayed in the wrong time. It's too late. If you are not saved tonight, please, maybe tomorrow will be late for you. Get saved tonight. Recognize that you are a sinner. Receive Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. Pastor, please.
I know the crowd that's here tonight, and I'm confident those who are here tonight have made a profession and have trusted Christ as their Savior, as far as I know. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Christ. So what not a better time now than to trust the Lord as your personal Savior? Let's remember as well as believers, let's not take for granted what we have. Because our neighbors don't know. The young lady, young man at the cash register in the store don't know. Other ones we run into don't know. And so let me challenge you and encourage you to use those invitations for Easter, like I said before. A lot of folks won't come to church for a rare holiday or two. Other reasons. We just never know who you're talking to and who you invite to church and how they will be used. We don't know. Mrs. Larson, I've shared before, was directly responsible for me coming to know the Lord. But before I ever got saved, Miss Larson rocked me in a rocking chair in the nursery. I didn't know. I was too young. Several years go by and I advance and I'm in juniors. Several more years go by and I advance, I'm in children's church. I always tease Miss Larson and said I was always her favorite in the nursery because she advanced to children's church when I got there. And she was part of seeing me saved. That wasn't the case. She grew in the Lord. Started in the nursery. And as she grew spiritually, moved in other areas in teaching. But she never knew when she was rocking that young brat on her knee. And she reminds me she also changed my diapers. She didn't know who she was rocking. We don't know who we're rocking in the nursery. We don't know who we're teaching in children's church. We don't know who we're meeting in the streets and what God may do in using our life for them to come to know Christ as their Savior and be used in the ministry. Folks, would you say it's an emergency to send missionaries to the field? All we have to do to support this family is somebody to make a motion to open up a business meeting right now. Brother Tony, I get a second. All in favor, say amen. Brother Leonard. All right. Any questions? Any comments? All in favor for support, picking up this family for support starting next month, say amen. Amen. Any opposed? Amen. Welcome to the family, brother. I was happy. And by the way, I don't know what it would cost, but I know the church has budgeted for me to go to a pastor's conference. I would like to go to the Philippines instead.
Amen.
I think that would do more for me than a week at a pastor's conference.
Amen.
I really do. So we'll figure out the difference in the costs. I'll make up the difference it would have cost for me to go to a pastor's retreat to go to the Philippines. I don't know when that'll be, this year, later next year, but I'd love to go and want Michelle to go with me. They shall go.
Amen.
All right, let's all stand together. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Mike and Alex. I'll just go when they go. Let's all stand together. We'll dismiss a word of prayer. Brother, why don't you go ahead and go and make your way to the back with your wife. I trust you have some more prayer cards. And we'll have dismissed. Folks will head that way, get a chance to greet. He'll be with us again on Sunday morning. I told him if he happens to get a meeting, take it. Then if he'll be with us Sunday night, he's going to sing for us. Give us a chance to get to know them a little bit better. And again, we'll take a love offering for them Sunday morning, Sunday night. If you'd like to do that with your tithe, just designate the difference from your tithe. As a debt we owe, and all that one check, and just put it on the envelope for Brother Joe to make it easy. You'll get his prayer card. You can just put Brother Joe or Perdentino family, and whatever extra you give above that will go. Next week, gets to the right place. Blessings. Just some prayer, please.